Thank you, Morteza, for organizing the symposium. And I want to especially thank my co-author here, Mike Kosh, who I've been working with on this Marina, Oklahoma in-situ sensor testbed for going on 8 years now. So I'm happy to tell you a little bit about this project. And so it has this funny acronym with the extra S in it. What is MOIST? Is it a long-running field-based intercomparison of commercially available soil moisture sensors? Or is it a test bed for development and evaluation of new sensing technologies? Or is it a magnet for an expanding community of researchers working in the area of soil moisture science and technology? Or could it be all of the above? Well, I'll keep you in suspense for now. This story began at a SMAP meeting before SMAP existed in 2009. It was a workshop on algorithms and calibration validation, and I wasn't there. But there were 14 consecutive talks on radar and radiometer retrieval algorithms. And that's fascinating science, but I'm not sure who can sit through 14 talks on that in a row. Not my friend Jeff Becerra, because he was there, and he's a meteorologist at the University of Oklahoma. And after about talk number 10, he was out in the hallway looking for some coffee. My friend Mike Kosh made it a little bit longer. I think he made it through about 12 talks, and then he winds up out in the hallway looking for some coffee. And they start talking about, this is going to be a great project, but how are we going to validate this satellite? Because we do have a lot of soil moisture monitoring networks distributed around the world, but they have a lot of different sensor types and installation techniques and depths, and how are we going to standardize that data? And so Mike has the idea. He says, you know what we really need to do is we need to get the existing sensor types that are being used into a field-based in situ intercomparison at one site. And Jeff says, that's a great idea. We need to do that. And Mike says, do you know anybody good that could help us with this project? And Jeff thought about it and said, no. But I know this guy Tyson, so let's call him. And so they got a hold of me, and we started talking about this project because, as some of you may know, in Oklahoma, we do have a very long-term monitoring network, the Oklahoma Mesonet. It's been monitoring soil moisture since 1996, so it's one of the longest-running automated networks. And here's just a data product from that. You can see for our end users, we like to express the soil moisture data as plant-available water, because that's a depth unit that you see it here in inches. That's something they can easily understand. And so that's a product. And so we have these over 100 sites around the state, and we wanted to pick one. So we chose one here because it's a close driving distance to Stillwater, but also it has some other desirable features. And this site is called Marina, which is named for the town of Marina, Oklahoma, which no longer exists. And this is an aerial view, satellite image of the site. And so right there in the white box, you can see the location of the Marina Mesonet station. If you go there, it's a standard meteorological station with a 10-meter tower and all the standard instrumentation, including soil moisture and soil temperature monitoring at three depths in the soil. And so it's a large field. This is a grazing land, and it's under very stable management over the long term, and it's a lot of space out there. It's larger than what I've shown here in this image. So we have lots of room to work. And it's a beautiful place to work. It's it's tall grass prairie vegetation, little blue stem, Indian grass is there, big blue stem. And so I've been learning about botany working out at this site. I have a lot more to learn. You can also find out there some post oak and eastern red cedar. And sometimes you can find scientists and engineers standing out in the field. So here's John Selker and Susan Steele Dunn and Christine Hatch. It has a continental climate, so we have temperatures down below minus 5 degrees C in the winter, and up above 40 degrees C sometimes in the summer. and our precipitation peaks in May, so we can get a really long, hot, dry spell almost every summer. We can count on that. We have a lot of variability in soil texture, as was mentioned in one of the prior questions. So within this one field, we have clay contents at one of our core sites down around 10%, and at another one of our core sites, we have clay contents up to 60%. So it gives a nice challenging array of soils in a close environment for us to test these sensors. And so we drew up a plan. Micah drafted a plan, and we refined it some, and we went out in the field and started digging holes. And so here's, this is in 2010, there's Mike Kosh down in a hole. We did not throw the dirt in on top of him. Here is Eric Small in a box, and he was working on the GPS reflectometry technique out there. He's at the University of Colorado. There's John Braun, his colleague, Mike Kosh with the world's largest selfie stick, and Steve Evett with a good cowboy hat there. So they're all working at the site. Merrick Zreda here and Darren Desolay having some kind of argument about installing this cosmic ray neutron probe at the site. And so we started to put these things in place. Here are half a dozen different types of commercially available sensors from 2010 that were installed, along with some others that aren't pictured here. And we installed these at four different locations across the site with different soils. And you can see, looking down into one of the pits, what that might look like. We went down where we could to 1 meter or to bedrock, which in some cases is only 50 centimeters. We also installed fiber optic cable, a lot of it, for distributed temperature sensing, and you can see the cable plow here. So if you were to go out to the site now, it would be laid out as something like this, and there's a lot of instrumentation here. So here's our core site A, and at this site we have one of these base stations where we have the half a dozen or more different types of soil moisture sensors being intercompared. We had the GPS reflectometry equipment. We've actually just finished that part of the project. We have passive and active DTS, so passive DTS without any heating capability, and a lot of active DTS cable out there, many kilometers installed. And then we have a cosmic ray neutron probe, as Trenton was just speaking about, located right here, an eddy covariance tower, and also a PhenoCam, which monitors the vegetation dynamics every day. So those are some of the things that we have at the site. This site was also one of the study sites you might have noticed for the AIRMOS project, which a prior speaker was describing. And so we've been able to make some progress over this time period with this site. And so this is some work by Mike Kosh, recently published in Vado Zone Journal, just showing some of the initial intercomparisons among the sensors. With site-specific calibration, we can get RMSEs of around 3% or slightly below for almost all the sensors that we've tested out there. So the sensors in general have come a long way, but you still need generally to do site-specific calibrations. Not always, but commonly. The GPS reflectometry technique, I don't have time to say much about that. I hope you're familiar with it. If you're not, please go look it up. It's a really interesting technique. And our site proved to be very challenging for that technique, because that technique was developed mostly in the western U.S., and they don't have quite as much vegetation at their other sites as we do at this tallgrass prairie site. And so our vegetation canopy was giving them a lot of problems. This is the known soil moisture here in situ, and then this is what they estimated with the GPS signal. And you can see it was pretty far off initially. So Eric and his team developed a new vegetation correction algorithm, and were able to, with that more complex algorithm, to achieve pretty good results estimating soil moisture from the GPS reflection. And so that also was recently published. This is one I'm really excited about. So Chatty Sadie has been working at the site, and he spoke on Monday about the active distributed temperature sensing and how we can use that to estimate soil moisture. Susan Steele Dunn and her student, Jinzi Dong, were leading the way on the passive distributed temperature sensing. And this, to me, is just amazing. So all this is doing is taking in the temperature observations and assimilating them into a customized version of the HYDROS 1D model, and just updating the model states and parameters. So updating the soil hydraulic properties, physical properties, and the soil water content values until the temperature in the model matches the observations. And they use a particle filter method that Gen-Z actually developed for this specific application. And here you see on the x-axis, this is time, so a little over a month of data here. And on the y-axis is distance, so it's 70 meters along a cable. And I think this is 1 meter resolution. It might be less than that. I can't remember exactly how he aggregated the data. But around, let's say, 1 meter resolution. And so you can see every hour over more than a month, for every meter along 70 meters, for four different depths here, 2.5, 5, 10, and 20 centimeters. And so we have this capacity now. Granted, it's not an easy technique, but it is possible now to not only monitor soil moisture at that scale, which we couldn't do before, but also to know the soil properties at that scale. And so I think this is really cool work, and he has about 4 or 5 papers already out there on this technique and its demonstration. So I encourage you to check that out if you're interested. For our group, we've been focusing on trying to see what we have never been able to see before. We want to be able to see mesoscale spatial patterns in soil moisture. These are around us every day, and as David and Trent have both shown in the scale gap problem that we face, it's a part of the world we usually don't see. We don't know what these patterns look like. So we've been using the Cosmos rover. This one we borrowed from Merrick Zoraida in 2011. That's just a picture of the box. I thought it was a cool logo they had. And we drove it around in the truck, as Trent was just describing, and we mapped 0 to 5 centimeter soil moisture over a 16 by 10 kilometer region at 0.5 kilometer spatial resolution. Okay, we did this for several days. I'm just going to show you results for one day. And so here's a survey. Again, this is 16 kilometers this way and 10 kilometers this way, and every dot is 0.5 kilometer. And you can see the neutron counts here in the top panel ranging from 100 to 140. So where the counts are low, that's our wet soil. And where they're high, that's our dry soil. And down here you can see after conversion of that to soil volumetric water content, ranging from below 10% in some areas and up to just over 20% in some other areas. And what we saw this particular feature on all the days that we collected data. We wondered, what is that feature? And we looked at the Sergo map, very complex soil environment there, but this is the map of sand content for this site. And you can see it just about perfectly aligns with this area near the Cimarron River, where we have about 80% sand content. So we started to see some hints that there may be a really strong imprint of soil texture on the mesoscale spatial patterns of soil moisture. So we've been pursuing that at a larger scale. And our second follow-up study goes from 0 to 150 kilometers. And we've been studying at that scale for a couple years now, and Gino, my student here, will be presenting on that work. So she published this one in 2014, but she'll be talking about the new data this afternoon at 2:05. So please catch Gino's talk this afternoon. And she's got some really cool new data to show as well. I think we lost a projector. Okay, so we're taking what we learned at that mesoscale, sort of from 1 up to 10 or 100 kilometers, and we're using those concepts to do soil moisture mapping for the whole state. And so this is a product that we have now on our website, soilmoisture.okstate.edu. It's produced automatically every day, and we have over 2 years of this product available now. And it uses all the in situ observations from the Oklahoma Mesonet, along with the Sergo soil texture data and the radar precipitation data from the National Weather Service in a geostatistical framework to produce these 800 meter resolution maps at the state level every day. And we're starting to see some really fascinating patterns in soil moisture at this scale. And I've never seen these kind of patterns before. And so I'm excited about them and trying to learn and understand from this new way of looking at the world around us. So we'll continue to pursue this. But what I'm most excited about from the Moist Project is the community. We started in 2010. So in 2011, we said, hey, we need a workshop to get together and talk about what we're learning. And so this was our first Moist workshop. There's Gino and I and Mike, the sort of constants throughout the project, and the folks we were working with in 2011. And we had such a good time at that workshop, we said we better have another one. And then we had another one and another one and another one. And so we've had seven of these in a row. This is the last one just this past summer. And the community has just kept growing. And so we've now, folks like Trenton, you can see in this picture, if you look closely, and Chatty Sadie, Mike Koch, and many others in this picture. And it's been great to develop lots of new collaborations as a result of this project. And that's what I've enjoyed the most, those collaborative relationships. So Moist is a long-running field-based intercomparison of commercially available soil moisture sensors, and it's a test bed for development and evaluation of new soil moisture sensing technologies, and it has been a magnet for an expanding community of researchers working to advance soil moisture science and technology, and you're all welcome to be a part of it. So if you would like to get involved with this kind of effort, please contact me or contact Trenton, because Trenton will be hosting our next workshop in Lincoln, and it will be during the first week of June 2018. So send Trenton an email or send me an email, and we will get you involved. Just some quick acknowledgments. I want to acknowledge and thank our funding sources, state and federal agencies. I want to thank the partners there, many of them who've been instrumental. And just some invitations. If you want to see those maps, you can go to soilmoisture.okstate.edu to see those. And just along the lines of what David was saying earlier, if you work with plants at all, we have this app, the Canapeo app, and I really encourage you to try it. It's free for Android and iOS devices, and it measures in the field green canopy cover, and it allows you to upload your data to a server and retrieve it for later analysis. And people all around the world are starting to find this useful, so I'll give that to you, and then our soil physics website there. Thank you.
Question for Faisal?
Yes. Yes, to all that. So Wolfgang is asking about if we install at four sites. Yes, all the six or more sensor types at all four locations at the same depths and down to about 1 meter maximal. But what we don't, but those four sites are fairly far apart, so they're not truly replicates because they're in different soils. So it would be perhaps even nicer that if in each individual pit, if we had replication of each sensor type, and we don't have that. Yeah. So, yeah. It's a great question.
Tyson, can you tie back Moist to the SNAP cowbell program? Are they completely separate, or is your site part of that cowbell?
Thank you. We did receive some support from NASA's Terrestrial Hydrology Program, and so we have participated in the CalVal workshops. Moist was not directly involved in any of the field campaigns for calibration validation, but we provided information to their CalVal activities. No direct funding from the CalVal program itself, but from the Terrestrial Hydrology Program.
Thanks, Tyson.